if we take the importance or the elevation of anything, we understand and establish the importance of something at that time when there is an objective attached to that action or item. If there's something without an objective, without a reason, then there's no importance attached to that thing and there's no price or value attached to that thing. You can construct a very big building and it's beautiful and nice to look at and looks very adorable, but it cannot sell. That building cannot sell if there's no recognition or identification that is this a commercial building or is this a residential building or is it for business? What's the purpose of this building? And when we identify and recognize and assign a usage, then there'll be a value and importance. Otherwise people will come and go look at it. But if we say that this is the objective of this building, immediately the customers will come and the building will sell quickly. So there has to be an objective of doing something, of an action. And when there's something with an objective, then it is always valuable and there's importance attached to it and appreciation attached to it and some greatness attached to it and a reason attached to it. But if somebody doesn't know what his objective is and he doesn't know what is the reason for his life, then he's a waste. That person is a waste, is just bone idle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this whole universe. And after creating this universe, Allah Ta'ala gave us the hukam that ponder and analyze and pay attention to this world that I've made. Think. Allah Ta'ala has made the whole universe such a beautiful universe. Creation, planet Earth, the world. Why has Allah Ta'ala made this? As I said, nothing happens without an objective. And we don't do anything without an objective. And Allah is the Rabb. He is the Lord of the universe. How, why did He make this whole universe? What was the objective? What was the reason? So Allah Ta'ala shed some light on this issue. Allah Ta'ala gathered all the angels and everyone. And Allah Ta'ala then created Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And we realize from this that the reason for creating the universe was that Allah Ta'ala wanted to send a form of creation. And the angels were a bit surprised. And Shaytan rejected. He didn't accept and the angels were a little bit taken aback. And they said, is this the reason, Allah, that you created this makhluk? So is this the reason you created the universe and what's around us? That you created the universe for us? Human beings, let's think personally. I'm in this universe, am I not? And this point is towards me, that I had to come, or you had to come, or some other human being had to come to this world. Think on a personal level about yourself. Look in the mirror, that Allah Ta'ala created the universe for you. Allah created the world for you. Allah Ta'ala created the honeybee for you. You eat honey, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala created the honeybee for you so you can consume it. You eat eggs, don't you? Look, Allah Ta'ala created the chicken so that you can eat the eggs. If everybody thinks and reflects on a personal level, then it's as if Allah Ta'ala has created the universe for him or her. Isn't this the case? What a big favor of Allah, and how indebted we should feel to our Lord, that when we eat something, we should think that Allah Ta'ala made this for me. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. That's why Allah Ta'ala sent this to me. Look, we drink water. We drink gulps, 3, 4, 5 glasses. Have we ever thought that if I had a thirst and there was no water, where would I go? Just have experienced this. Go to a certain locality. When the glass of water is gulped down our throats, we say to ourselves, Allah, you made water for me, subhanAllah. Glory be to Allah, you allowed me to quench my thirst. What a great favor of yours upon me. So what it seems is that the reason for doing shukr on every ni'mah is that a man should recognize and appreciate that Allah Ta'ala has created the resources in the world for us. Look, such a massive universe that we cannot gauge or measure. We think we have achieved. We think we know the world. But in this universe, we are a small, tiny dot. And we can't even recognize what's in this dot of the earth. You can keep traveling and traveling. You'll see beautiful colors. And now we've just, like, for example, fly above. And what if you have to go inside the sea, the ocean? You'll see the worlds and the oceans and the life forms and the creatures and the beauty. Why did Allah Ta'ala create all of this? For Adam alayhi salam and his creation, his offspring. So we'll see here that Allah Ta'ala's glory is power. What are we human beings? We're nothing, aren't we, physically, if we think about it? But Allah Ta'ala has created so many vast oceans, and from the depths of the oceans and the seas, Allah Ta'ala said, I created a form of creation, and it starts to swim and float. It comes up to the surface, and we grab it in the net and we cook it. A fish, somebody's got this fish and that fish, another ocean's got another species of fish, and we've kept the names that we like. Allah Ta'ala didn't say the name of this fish is this. Says it in any Quranic verse or hadith: salmon, cod, koli, snapper, and haddock, etc. All these names we've given. And when we eat fish, we should think, Allah, you made the salmon for me, where it was born in the ocean, in the depth, in another country, it was caught, and I'm cooking it on my stove in the frying pan. Ah, subhanAllah. So this shukr should come out, emanate from the person to believe, Allah, I'm a great person. You have prepared everything in the world for me. Not even the kings used to get this in the older days. Ah, today I feel like Allah Ta'ala says, I want my creation to eat meat today. A wife will be today. Okay, let's make some kofta today. So this is our desire. Imagine our authority, our status. We desire a kofta, and on the other side, somewhere else in the butcher shop, the goat is being sacrificed, the meat is skinned, and then it's minced. And then you come to the meat shop and say, give me 1 kg of minced meat, please. SubhanAllah, who prepared this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to our desires, every one of us is a king. We're all kings. Allah has created the world for us. Look at this insan. Allah ta'ala has created according to our desires and our rank and our status and our purpose. Our purpose. What a great universe Allah has made. And Allah ta'ala says, now you know the secret behind my creation of the universe. What? That I created the universe for the human beings. When the angel saw that all the human beings, look at all the different forms of creation, from the fly to the animals, and everything is a servant of human being. Why is Allah ta'ala created this human being with 2 legs, and he looks nice with eyes and his mouth and his cheeks and his nose and ears? But why is there so much importance attached to this human being that Allah Ta'ala has assigned this importance? And they were thinking, the angels and the other forms of creation, that nothing is without any purpose. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتَ الْإِنْسِ. Why did Allah Ta'ala create the human being? The human being, insan, mankind, me and you, what are we? What are we for? What is the reason, our purpose and our objective? And the person who doesn't recognize his objective is no more crazy or foolish person than that. Why do we say he's foolish? Because he doesn't know his objective. If a man's running here, 60 degrees angle, another person's running left this way down this street, somebody's going, you know, darting across another way in another route, someone's sitting there and laughing and not doing anything, we'll say this person's mad. So when the angels look at us, someone's working in a factory, subhanAllah. Someone's behind his till in his shop. Someone's counting the notes in the night. Somebody's doing night shift. Somebody's doing fraud for money. Somebody's stealing. Somebody's running after women. And the angels must look and laugh and say, subhanAllah, Allah praise this man. And they'll look like mad people in the dunya. Isn't it? That there's no objective. What's happened to these people, they say. Allah Ta'ala was proud and created them with pride and said that, look, and fair enough, and that it cannot be forever like this, can they, with a high status, and when the time comes and we depart, and then we depart and we're thrown like dogs and cats and we have nothing, and we become the fuel for the hellfire because we had the life without the objective, without an objective, without a purpose. And whatever we did in this world, we didn't attain anything, no fruits for the hereafter. So we should do actions when we have the objective in front of us. But today, more than 99% of the population do not know their objective of life. Someone says, I came for this. Another man says, I came for this. Somebody says, I came to pray salah. Somebody says, I came to do hajj. Somebody says, I came to do umrah. Isn't it? I came to make a masjid or to serve the masjid. But the asal, the genuine reason for our creation, we do not get to the root cause of the purpose of our creation and the purpose of our life and our objective in life. No. If I tell you, will you implement it? Otherwise, what's the point of sitting here, is it? So if we don't understand the thing, how astray we are. We are waste. Wasteful. Allah Ta'ala hasn't told us that don't run your shops or don't eat, etc. Obviously, Allah Ta'ala has created us, and Allah Ta'ala says that everything in the world, the chicken and the fish and the animals, everything is for us and our order. But fulfill your objective. In parallel, Allah says that's not your prime objective, to come and eat and drink and be merry. You should enjoy this world and the akhirah. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah says, this is your objective. If you attain your objective, then this dunya is jannah for you, and jannah is jannah anyway in the paradise in the hereafter. Isn't it? So, if I don't reach to my objective, then I'm worse than the spiders. The ants are better than me. Remember this. That this dirty ant or spider that's in our room, we run after it to kill it, it's hundreds of thousands of times better than us because it knows its objective. Allah Ta'ala has created the insects, the spiders, they're working according to the objective. The chicken, it works to its objective, it keeps on laying eggs. Until today, no chicken has gone on strike. Have they made a union? Is there a chairman? A CEO? Oh, let's have a meeting, AGM, too many men are eating our eggs and they've destroyed our lifestyle. Okay, let's go on strike. The question doesn't arise. They get up in the morning and the egg will be laid by the chicken, the honeybee. The honeybee, we look for asal honey. Have we ever thought where the honey is coming from, where it's been explained, from where Allah Ta'ala sends the honey, where they take the fragrance and the syrup from the flowers and it changes and transforms into honey and then it goes into our stomach? For playing games, different types of honey, dark or black or different color, one has this taste, one has that taste, fine. And it's coming, it's been manufactured. And never did the honeybee say, I'm tired. Oh Allah, too much, we're tired, exhausted. Give us a holiday for the sake of Allah. Their stomachs aren't full, let us rest. We want to go on holidays as well. Okay, we'll work 4 days and then we're going to go on holiday for 3 days. And oh, we're going to enjoy ourselves. How many times have you heard this? Doesn't matter, whatever our demands are, they are fulfilled by the creation. They never stop, they never cease. They fulfill the function that was given to them. So is this not correct? We'll realize on the day when we will depart from this world that what we did and we didn't do. We have lowered ourselves so much that the ant will be higher than us. The chicken will stand and say, oh, you foolish human being. Look at what you did and what you were really meant to be doing. And the smallest honeybee will slap us in the face. Ah, you didn't even know what you were created for. Who is your Rabb? You don't even know who your Rabb is. You don't even know who is your Lord. Did you ever recognize your Lord? You knew one thing, stomach. That's it. You knew where your stomach was, how to fill it, and you didn't have any other objective. And that was your thought process about life. Brothers, let's recognize our objective, our supreme objective. There's a hadith, a Qudsi. Do you understand Qudsi hadith? The Qudsi hadith is direct words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is just, Nabi Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is communicating the direct words of Allah. So one is Qala ta'ala. There's one message of Allah going via the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What nur, what light. One is Allah's message and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed tongue and statement. So there's nur within this message. And this is called Hadith Qudsi, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is communicating direct words of Allah ta'ala to us. Allah was in Jalal and said in Hadith Qudsi, O foolish people, you must know that you are enjoying yourself too much in life. Give him the communication that very soon you will come to me, your Lord. So recognize your objective and purpose of life. Don't waste your time. Allah said, Ya Ibad, announce, O my servants, become human beings. What form and what framework of life are you following? What pattern of life are you following? Allah Ta'ala says that, did I create this world for this reason? Allah Ta'ala is saying this in the Hadith Qudsi. In this hadith, did I create the world that there's nothing in my treasure chest and you need to work and keep earning money and put that into your bank balances so that you pay Allah? Is that why you keep on running around so that you can earn money and make profit so you can put it in the treasure chest? You think that Allah Ta'ala's treasure chest is lacking the wealth that you need to work so much to put money into the bank balance? And Allah Ta'ala said that, do you think I'm on my own and that you will give me company? Oh, in the world, there's a lot of clamor and noise and vibrancy, and that we're doing this to give Allah Ta'ala company in the world. Allah Ta'ala says that, did I create you for this reason? That I can't work and I can't produce, and we need to have people who are productive in the world, who produce things and artifacts and items. Allah Ta'ala says that I am the Rabb. I am the Lord, I am powerful, omnipotent, the Khaliq, the Malik, the owner. I didn't create you for these reasons. I didn't create you for oh, our Rabb, why did you create us, my Lord? What did you want from us, Allah? What did you desire from us? Subhanallah. The question arises, what did you desire from us? My Lord, please remind me today before that day comes where I'm standing in your court and I am ashamed and I'm sweating out of shame. Allah, tell me today so I can understand. Then the announcement comes from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Subhanallah. وَتَذْكُرُونِ كَثِيرًا وَصَبِّحُونِ بُكْرَةً وَعَسِيلًا. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says that, why did I create you? I created you for this reason. إِنَّا خَلَقْتَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says that, I created you, my creation. وَتَذْكُرُونِ كَثِيرًا وَصَبِّحُونِ بُكْرَةً وَعَسِيلًا. That, oh my servant, that just solely the reason, one prime reason, principal reason for you to come into this world was that you should be like the mad person. Do you understand? Mad person who has unlimited objective. وَتَذْكِرَةٌ كَثِيرًا كَثِيرًا. Kathira means abundance without the limit. Allah Ta'ala says, then imagine Allah's kathiran, the definition of kathira. Abundance. So much dhikr you do, so much dhikr you should do that you should remember me so much to the extent of madness. The definition of madness is given to you. Morning, evening, every moment, my servant, I want to see that you are immersed in my dhikr. In my dhikr. In my remembrance. And the person who does this in his life has reached to his objective of life. Look, salah, hajj, Allah says these are the tastes of my dhikr. Like you go into a garden, an orchard, you see the rose and the chameleon and other petals and flowers and buds. And these are flowers, generally speaking, the family of flowers. We see the flowers in their beds. We go close to them, the champa, the chameli, and the different brands and species. So all the different types of ibadah worship, their ruh, their foundation is dhikr of Allah. Their basis. If you take dhikr out of deen, salah is empty. If you don't do dhikr of Allah, your salah will be blank. If you don't do dhikr of Allah, your hajj will be blank like an empty box. If you take dhikr out of your life, then fasting will be like an empty box. Hollow. So the life and the vigor in all ibadat is due to dhikr of Allah. Then the taste will come in your salah. If you do dhikr of Allah, then the taste will come in your Quran recitation. If you do dhikr of Allah, then the taste will come in hajj. If you do dhikr of Allah, then the taste will come in your fasting. So all year long, through different tastes and experiences, due to dhikr, you'll get the taste. The salah in the morning, different taste. The isha salah, different taste. Different enjoyment. Every verse of the Quran, different enjoyment. So all of these are what? All of these are tastes. The effects of dhikr. But the maqsad, the objective of our life is one and only to do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says that when the human being attains this objective, the person who attains the dhikr of Allah and is steadfast, Allah Ta'ala says he or she is alive, and the whole world and creations recognize him or her. The angels recognize him or her. The universe and the creatures recognize him or her, that this person, he has fulfilled the objective of life. Every moment and second he's remembering his Rabb, his Lord. Not for a second is this person negligent or from Allah's remembrance. Allah has given his tongue, he's doing dhikr, his hand is doing dhikr, his legs are going towards the dhikr of Allah, his body is assigned towards the dhikr of Allah, and Allah has given him a heart and he's doing dhikr in his heart, in the depth of his heart. Subhanallah. He has no desire, passion for anything else. Yes? So for example, if now comes here, if I become a person, a businessman, oh, I'll send a surma and you'll put it into your eyes and it'll become noor and you'll see far away and the precious pearls will come out, the diamonds, and this be guaranteed 4 or 5 people will buy this bottle from me because of the benefits of the world due to this. Okay, let's try this on, this surma, what it is. But subhanAllah, if I say, do the dhikr of Allah, learn the dhikr of Allah, do the dhikr of Allah, recite Allah Ta'ala's name, but nobody listens, nobody comes forward to do the dhikr of Allah. What's the reason? Why is there no desire? Why? Because we don't recognize our objective of life. That's the honest truth. We don't recognize our objective of life. No. We don't have the desire. We don't have that passion. We don't know. We don't realize that we're going to die. We've forgotten the fact that we're going to die. What's the answer we're going to give to Allah? Allah will ask us one question. Remember, one question. That reason, objective, I sent you to the world. For example, you send somebody on a task, an errand, go and buy some yogurt. Instead of yogurt, he comes back with many other products. When he comes in the house, you say to him, have you bought the yogurt? And will you not ask this? If your wife sends you to the shopping center, go and buy some flour, atta. Now you understand, you come back with the flowers and fruits and eating groceries, etc. And your wife says, did you bring the atta? The flour? No. Then the slippers will fly. Hey, put everything to the side. I told you I need the flour. But I could put this, my dear wife. Look at this, was this and this cheap and that. She said, I don't need these things. I needed the flour. So Allah Ta'ala, Rabb says, I created you, send you to this world. For what reason? For what reason? To do my dhikr. To remember me. So how have you come back to me? What things are you showing to me that you have achieved in your life? Show me that action and result that I created you for. And those people who will leave and depart this world with that maqsad, that objective, you will see the difference in their lives in this world. Do people not die every day? Millions of people die. Hundreds of thousands. The kings, the Shahinshah, Babur the Great, Sikandar the Great, named Akbar the Great. The dunya calls them with these titles, Shahinshah, Bhutto the Great. Big names and leaders and ministers and the kingship and the power they had. And go to their graves now. Go to their graves. A king's grave. Even you'll see a dog in Hindustan urinating. He was a Mughal king. You saw a dog urinating at his grave. It's written in the kitabs. And just a little distance from that grave, there's another grave. Another person passed away in the world. A great personality who attained his objective, lived a life according to his objective. And there's 100 people sitting there, reading the Quran and doing the dhikr of Allah. Because he lived his life and passed his life and departed from this world due to the objective. He lives as a ghawth, departs as a qutb, Bahuddin Zakariya, Imam Rabbani, Mujaddad al-Afthani. They live like this. Other Shaykhul Hadith Zakariya Sahib, they live their life according to the objective, then they live and depart in a great way. And from amongst us, there are people, they become like Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jan, they become Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullah Alayhi. And their names come. Why are their names famous? Why do we keep repeating the names centuries after they've departed? Because Allah Ta'ala has accepted their life that they love Allah more than their own self. Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, Ramtray. Why is his name keep mentioned by us? Hazrat Ali Murtada, Rahmatullah Ali, Rahimahullah. What did they do? What did these great personalities do that thousands of miles away from where they lived and passed away? We remember them. And they had said that we don't want the reward from people remembering us. Allah Ta'ala said that person who dies with his objective of life, correct. Allah says, I prepare for that person such sadaqat, such ongoing, continuous charity that after they die, the whole world and the population of the believers are doing actions that send reward for those people in the graves. Now we're in the night, there it's day, or there it's day, here's night. All day and all night, there's dhikr and people are remembering these great personalities. Because they lived their life to fulfill the objective that Allah Ta'ala gave them. And in opposition to that, the king, his objective was marriages, running factories, earning money, taxes, and devouring property and food, and luxury and comfort. And what's happening now? Dogs are urinating on their graves. Animals are going around their graves. But subhanAllah, the wali of Allah, who departs from this world after fulfilling the objective, he gives nasiyah to the people after he leaves them behind. I talk about my sheikh. I've seen one wali of Allah in my life, and I didn't have desire to see any other wali of Allah. And he gave me nasiha, advice, and listen to the nasiha of Hazrat Sheikh, not this. Subhanallah. He said that don't think that you are great if you've attained your objective or that you're higher than people. No, he considers himself dust. A person who's remembering Allah, he thinks he's the worst from the rest of the creation. Remember, whenever you want to attain an objective, for example, you have an objective, I want to be a doctor, an engineer. You see a child who wants to attain this objective. Study that person. Look at that person. He's sitting all day, all night. Tomorrow I've got an exam. I've got an exam. The mother and father are pushing him and tuition. He's going to become this and that. So they are running after their objective. And they're sacrificing the time of the night. People are enjoying and he's sitting and studying. And other boys are playing cricket and he's sitting and studying. People are messing about. He's sitting and studying. Why? Because he wants to attain his objective. So when, for the worldly causes, worldly reasons, we strive and we attain the objective, then we enjoy it. That person enjoys his life. After that, because he's attained something, maybe it's temporary. So tell me, if we have this objective and those people who attain the objective, remembering Allah, then they sacrifice the time of their life. They sacrifice pleasures and enjoyment. They don't see that in this objective that they are pursuing, there's a restriction or a hurdle or an obstacle. They kick those things into touch. They kick the luxuries and the comforts into touch. They said that this is an opposition to my maqsad, my objective. I've got to do away with this. And this is the reason why I was created and I'm going to go for that objective. And it's those same people who attained this objective, those same people who discarded the materialism of the world, and they didn't allow things to come and impede their journey. And those people had one supreme objective. One supreme objective. That there's a beautiful couplet and verse that comes to my mind. That a person who is pursuing the remembrance of his Lord. What a beautiful couplet this is. That those people, they forget themselves, but they are remembering the objective of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. They have one objective. They don't look left and right. They're looking far ahead towards their manzil, the destination. And any obstacle that comes in the way, any loss, oh, this has happened, that it happened. Oh, today this money hasn't come, the stock. He says, don't worry about it. It's all right, I'll take the loss. Speak about Allah. I love to hear about Allah and His dhikr. So those people, they don't say that, oh, you have to remember me after my death or come to my grave or read Quran for me. No. I'll tell you the reality. I see my sheikh and what he left behind. It was the time of Jummah. I saw this from my eyes, I tell you this. It was the Jummah time, the Khanqa of my Sheikh. Thousands and hundreds and thousands of people were there after Jummah doing Maraqabah and Dhikr of the heart. There was Dhikr of Allah Ta'ala after Jummah because they had an objective of life. The Wali of Allah, what do you see when you remember when you see Wali of Allah? What do you remember? Allah. Allah says in the Quran, so that's their objective. Whatever objective a human being has, you will see the reflection of that in that person. So when you go to a person who's a businessman who loves money, you'll see money around him. I can have a job. Can you give me a job? Or what factory do you have? You got any vacancies? Or can you give a job to my son? How much money can you give me in profit? Or Or at least, for example, do dua for me in this, because their maqsad is zindagi and dunya. But when you go to the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah, because his objective is Allah, doesn't matter what intention you've got when you go there, but who will you remember when you go to the company of the wali of Allah? You'll remember Allah first, then you'll remember the objective of why you went there. So when you do dhikr, so Hazrat did dhikr after Juma, and there was 150, 200 brothers, students with Hazrat. And I was right next to my sheikh, to Hazrat Ji. Hazrat Ji had his staff, his stick, and Hazrat was putting his shoes on. And where everybody used to take their shoes off, like we come into the masjid, you know, there's the shoe area, and the shoes are outside the masjid in the little yard, then you leave the masjid. So Hazrat was putting his shoes on, everyone was putting their shoes on. One stride Hazrat took near the shoes, and everyone stopped. Everyone stopped suddenly. What was Hazrat about to do? Hazrat stood there silent. We stood there silent, watching. Hazrat waved his stick near to the shoes where the shoe area was. And if Allah gives you the tawfiq and you have ijazah, then you will see this. Where the shoe area was, where the shoe racks are, like we say. And Hazrat waved his staff, his stick, three times and said that my qabr, my grave, I want it here. Here. This was his selection of where he wanted to be buried. He said it in his lifetime, that where the musallis, the people who come to the pray in the masjid, where they take off their shoes, I want my grave here. And the style, you know, the walis of Allah, their graves, they don't have a massive mimbar and the gumbad and the memoirs. This, the question didn't arise. Go and see, I swear by Allah, the grave of the wali of Allah, Hazrat Fazal al-Quraysh, it's a dusty, muddy grave, which is not raised. Subhanallah. You see, mitti, the dust, the soil, but they are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dusty plain, and when you sit there, you see the blessings and the nur. And we will give them thawab. That when you do dhikr, where will the thawab go? To Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi, straight to his qabr. Where? When we are sitting in this majlis, we learnt dhikr from him, Hazrat rahmatullahi. So when we sit and do dhikr, then obviously sadqa jari automatically goes to his grave. So when a person lives his life according to his objective, it will elevate him during his life and thereafter, and in the grave. Say subhanallah loudly. You are sat here now to pursue your own life's objective. And when you pursue your life's objective, then listen to this hadith, which is great. This is not a little thing. This is not a minor thing, that when a person is fulfilling the purpose of his life, his objective, like we are sat here, what will happen? We may not see any result. And sometimes, various times I've mentioned this hadith, that the congregation of the angels flies through the world. And they have one duty. They have one duty. Allah Ta'ala has selected them and given them, assigned them one task, that you need to wander around the world and look for one thing, that where people are sat for their objective, and they're implementing their objective, their supreme objective, which is the remembrance of their Lord, Allah. Allah is saying this. When they're remembering me, then Allah says to the angels, fly to them, go to them, gather around them, and take the record and information of what they're doing, and then come back to me in the heavens and tell me the news, what they're doing. Tell me the status supreme of those people who sit down and are immersed in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Think, brothers, the world is empty, is dark, and void. And to obtain your objective, now we're doing dhikr, the whole universe is full, from here to the heavens, with the angels looking and witnessing our actions, and then they fly to Allah after the majlis finishes. And they're unique, aren't they? They're unique. Yes, very unique creation. Where will you see this form of majlis in the world? Thousands of gatherings are happening in the world today, and people call us time wasters. Look at them, they're sitting down doing dhikr. Why are they doing this? So the angels, they came in the whole world. Maybe there's one or two places in the world, Allah, there was dhikr happening. Then Allah asks, what were they doing? What were they saying? So Allah Ta'ala enjoys to hear the news report of the angels. Allah Ta'ala likes to hear this. That Allah is Khabir and Basir. He knows everything. He knows everything seen and unseen. But He wants to hear from the statement of the angels. So the angels name every individual who were in the gathering, and they present at the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell me this. What is the maqam of the dhakirin? How elevated is that individual doing dhikr in the court of Allah? Imagine his name is mentioned by the angels and Allah hears the names. Allah says, is it these individuals, these people who are doing this? Yes, Allah, they recited this kalma. They enjoyed it. They loved your name and your remembrance. And then Allah's rahmah comes into passion. Allah's mercy. Allah says, listen, O angels, bear witness. Be my witnesses. Does Allah need witnesses? No. He doesn't. So why is Allah making the angels witness? Look, my angels, you become my witness, Allah Ta'ala says. Why is Allah Ta'ala taking them as witness? Why? Because Allah is reminding them that you used to question that why am I creating Adam and the son of Adam? And today I make you the witness. I want to show you. I want to hear from your statements, O angels, that why did I create this human being? This was the objective of creating mankind, that I wanted them to live in the place of attraction. You have no attractions and temptations, O angels. You do tasbih all day long. But I decorated the world with distractions and attractions. But this makhluk creation, they will shun all of the so-called enjoyments of the world. And they will empty their minds and their hearts and their thoughts from all of the fikr and worry of the world. And if they have one worry and one enjoyment and taste, that's the ismi that name of Allah. And so much satisfaction and peace will they attain that nothing will be difficult for them. It won't be hard for them to leave the wrong things. The whole world will be running after wasteful activities, but they will stop those wasteful activities and run to the beautiful taste and enjoyment of reciting my name. They will say, the believers, oh brother, let's go to that gathering, the majlis, dhikr. Let's sit down and remember Allah. Where? Come on, let's go into the world. Who knows where you're going? And you can do what you want. Oh, the other brothers will say to you, no, let's go to the party. There's girls and there's women. Let's enjoy ourselves. Let's do this. Oh, let's go and do this. Bros, let's, you know, it's boring all day long. We just do ibadah and worship. Where will he go? He wants to go to do the dhikr of Allah, subhanAllah. Khawf has come in his heart. Love has come in his heart. And the desire has come in his heart. And the passion and the attraction with Allah's name. So Allah says, oh angels, bear witness. And what is this? I told you, Allah Ta'ala says to the angels, didn't I tell you? That who am I sending to the world? That you cannot understand what I know. You don't know what I know. So when they raise up and rise up on the day of judgment, they'll be higher than you, O angels. They'll be higher than your status. What greater status than this can there be? That they've forgotten the whole world and they're remembering me, Allah Ta'ala says. They're sacrificing their desires and so-called attractions of the world and they're remembering me. What's the reward Allah Ta'ala says I'll give? Allah Ta'ala says, I tell you, O angels, now that go and hear, listen clearly, I've forgiven all of these people who are doing dhikr. Why? Because they went after their objective. So when a person sits in a gathering, a majlis with other people and does the dhikr of Allah, from one majlis, due to one gathering, the sins are forgiven. A person is forgiven. Salvation is attained. And that person all his life long does dhikr of Allah and departs the world due to the dhikr of Allah, with the dhikr of Allah. Imagine his status. Imagine his reward. Imagine the heights he will attain. Brothers, my friends, let's not waste time. Let's recognize our objective. Let's do dhikr in the way, the haq that is due, the rights that are due for dhikr. Don't make dhikr a tradition. It's not a habit. It's not folk tales and stories and a cult and a group or a majlis. No, we should love Allah. We should have the desire for Allah's nearness, and there's nothing greater than that. And bigger the point than this, that we should understand that this is my objective of life, that I have to remember my Lord. No. When the time for salah comes, then the afdal dhikr is salah. And if you do salah, pray salah with the intention of dhikr, what intention do you make at salah time? You make intention of dhikr Allah. This is also a style you've given us to do your dhikr, salah, and I'm going to do this. Whatever worship you do, whenever the time comes for worship, you should do niyyah for the dhikr of Allah. And when the time for that worship ends, and there's no hukum at that time to do any specific worship, then you say, Allah, I'm going to continue to mention your name. And we're not going to forget you. Even now, we're going to keep on remembering you. May Allah Pak, may Allah Ta'ala, whatever I've mentioned, may Allah give me the tawfiq to implement this. And may Allah Ta'ala give you the understanding, give you the ability for you, your children, your family, your wives. Let's reassure ourselves and revive this thought. What's the objective of life? We don't understand this. How will our children understand this? The actions we do in front of our children, that will create the importance in those hearts. So the actions we do, the pastimes we run after, then the children will do this. For example, a doctor, his offspring becomes a doctor, a shopkeeper, a businessman, then his children are after that. There's an optician, then his son or offspring become opticians. If there's a thief, then his children become thieves sometimes. Isn't it? So you can do what you want, and the children will look at you as role models and implement and copy what you're doing. So if you start doing dhikr and you implement dhikr, then the effect will come into your life. Then the children will also have that effect, and by that effect, and dhikr attracts and it pulls a person to Allah. So in their heart will come the respect, the ihtiram, the way, the more respect you do dhikr with, and you recite the name of Allah and you mention the dhakreen. If you laugh and say, oh, let's go to dhikr, and we're fraudsters and cheats and deceptors, then the children will do the same. They say, maybe this is the reason why we do dhikr, to cheat and play and joke. That's why today the situation is bad. The khanqahs are spoiled because we have spoilt the deen. Because when murids who are spoilt, who have the bad intention, who play games with the remembrance of Allah, and then the children realize that this man, our father, he's like a thief. He loves the dunya. He's just got a habit. He goes and sits down with Hazrat in the night, in the morning. These are those people who are deserved of severe punishment in the court of Allah, who joke and play games with the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, those people who play games, they are joking with themselves. They're not joking with Allah's ibadah. They're not playing games with Allah's ibadah. They're playing games with themselves. They are waiting for that punishment to be deserved and to be meted out to them. How sad that the objective of dhikr of Allah's ibadah is we think we can just do what we want all day long and do sins and bad actions and bad statements and bad example and bad role models. And we just go and sit in dhikr in the morning and evening and we think that this is the objective. No. If we have real genuine love for the dhikr of Allah, if we have muhabbat, if we have love, if we have regard, then Allah Ta'ala says you will do things the correct way. If you do dhikr with the love, then this will give you the rank and the status of the wali of Allah. This is the ladder that will take you to Allah Ta'ala's walayat. A person who bows his head and focuses on his heart and discards the world and doesn't have anything haram and unlawful in the world, I sit on the prayer mat, I've heard this from the pious person, that he will not leave that place of dhikr unless he attains the walayat and the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who plays games, his attire, his face, and he's got tasbih and haram and deceit and money, and from his children they're running after haram and everyone's watching him and seeing the games that are being played and the drama that's unfolding, that person will not attain any of the rewards that are due. So people will see that person. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the nations who used to live their lives like this, who used to play games with Allah's orders and Allah's deen, and they didn't have the khawf and the fear, and the khawf, the fear had disappeared from their lives. They made the deen a game. Everything was a tradition. And they're always okay, we're just doing this and dhikr. There's no bigger fruit stand than this person. In the kitab of Allah, there's no bigger punishment than this. In the dunya, if not maybe, but in the akhirah, definitely this person will be wretched. Don't joke with Allah. Don't play games with Allah. Don't discard Allah's deen. This is Allah, the Rabb. Recognize Allah, because when Allah's jalal comes, Allah has mentioned those qawms and nations in the Quran who used to play games with Allah. Who used to play games with Islam. Who used to play games with Allah's ahkams, with Allah's orders. They used to bend them, twist them, and hide them. And the fear of Allah had come out of their hearts and they'd made a game out of Allah Ta'ala's deen. Every nation prior to us. And then Allah Ta'ala showed that this was their conclusion and the punishments they deserved. And not suddenly does it come. This is not the sunnah of Allah. Allah gives many chances, many reminders, many chances does Allah Ta'ala, the Creator, Allah, Supreme Creator, give that maybe you'll come back now, maybe you'll turn back now, maybe I'll give you a chance now. Don't think it's 5 years, 10 years. No. Allah gives a chance. Allah gives a chance and the situation continues. How long does it carry on for? How long? And after that person staunch on the sins, then Allah suddenly grabs and shakes and nobody can help after that. That's why I tell you always this path. Let's fear Allah. This silsila that we're in, it's very, very delicate. And don't think that you can play games with the deen. Don't become the means for somebody's sins and bad actions. Wallah, if I become the means for somebody sinning, then there'll be no bigger loss or wretchedness than this. Remember this. Remember this. And if I'm cautious and I implement the deen, I've entered into this silsila, into this series and order of tasawwuf, and I do things the right way, then there'll be no greater status than yours or whoever is in that position. As I said, our objective is to attain the supreme purpose of life. And maybe we'll have difficulties. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu, the prince, the grandson, it wasn't hard for him to be saved from that difficulty. It was not difficult for him. He could have said easily, okay, fine. Sharia gives hukam, I should not put my life in danger, my family. Let's go back and accept what these people are saying. And the children and his wife and his family, he could have taken them. Okay, we'll do a negotiation. Let's use hikmah and wisdom and negotiate. And so we can escape death. And when message is not coming and coming to remind them that, listen, just obey what we're saying and follow. Okay, Hazrat Hussain could have said, let's negotiate and accept what we're saying. Then we'll give him tabligh and propagation. We'll tell Yazid he's wrong. And we'll slowly explain to him. At least our children will be safe. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And he's about to be executed. And his head is there ready to be executed. And even then he's reminding the believers about Allah Ta'ala's ahkam's orders. Remember, Islam is revived after every Karbala. What a great example the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for us. That speaking the haq, the truth, is the best way. He was the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to attain his objective, Allah Ta'ala didn't even leave him, the prince, the grandson. Because when a person is focused on his objective, then he's ready to leave all of the things that come in his way. He's ready. He didn't say, okay, let's use hikmah, let's compromise, what difference does it make? No, no, no. Hikmah doesn't run there. Then the person has to be steadfast who's on the right path. You've come, and those people who have come, then the first step on this path, this silsila, is what? Do you know what it is? Tawbah. Repentance. And repentance is a great action. And the first tawbah, a person who does the first tawbah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then brothers, don't wander around. I speak to myself and to you. I'm addressing all of us. That Allah ta'ala has kept us all on the path, and alhamdulillah, it's not difficult. It's not hard. And the objective Allah has given to us this path, so we should be sincere, steadfast, straightforward. If somebody looks at us, they shouldn't feel that there's hypocrisy, or that we're not good, or go towards bad and point fingers at us, that this man's a thief. He's wrong. He's living a life of deceit. Because what will become disrespected? The people who are following the deen of Islam will be disrespected due to our wrong actions. And then nobody will come to dhikr. Nobody will appreciate. So let's do dua to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala save us from shaitan, from nafs. And don't think that we are sacrificing our time, because the challenges will come. The trials will come. What trial? What challenge? What do we have to give up? Just have to break our desires and nafs, and that's it. So we should have courage, determination, make our life the life of the dhakireen. We should have habits of the dhakireen. We should have a lifestyle like the dhakireen. We should have shukr. We should be grateful. And alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong with earning halal. Nothing with having halal rizq according to Sharia, according to Islam, according to Allah Ta'ala's boundaries. Alhamdulillah, that is a reward from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That's it. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you also. Ameen.